Like to title my talk, The Sacred Occasion. And I begin by reciting three stanzas of a four-stanza poem by Robert Browning. Did you once see Shelley plain? And did he stop and speak to you? And did you speak to him again? How strange it seems, and new. I crossed a moor with a name of its own, and a certain use in the world, no doubt. Yet a hand's breadth of it shines alone, mid the blank miles round about. For there I picked up on the heather, and there I put inside my breast a molted feather, an eagle feather. Well, I forget the rest. We do not live our lives on one level. All of us cherish those times when a hand's breadth of our experience shines alone mid blank miles round about. They are times which Whitehead calls the supernormal experience of mankind in its moments of finest insight. Such an experience may be a point of meaning in a vast moor of meaninglessness. It may be a point upon which one stumbles, seemingly by chance, as a man digging in a field stumbles upon buried treasure. Or it may be a special or epochal occasion, which comes after a long quest, which contains the meaning of all life in small compass, in which, in the words of William Blake, you hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour, and in which perhaps you are like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, goes and sells all that he had and buys that one pearl. All of life is sacred, we Christians believe, made to glow with the presence of God. But we know it is all sacred because occasionally a hand's breadth of our experience shines alone. It was said of William Wordsworth, here is his glory, that on the whole he stands in mankind's recollection for his best hours, that in the long run what his great days said, he believed and caused to be remembered. Moses at the burning bush, Isaiah in the temple, Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road are hand's breadths of our experience of God, which make up sacred and creative occasions. Each is a hand's breadth of meaning on an otherwise vast moor of meaninglessness. We know sacred occasions and the range of our own experience. The hour of prayer in secret, the hour of public worship can be sacred occasions. So are times when the lame walk and the blind see and the poor have the gospel preached to them. When as the sheep of God's hand we lie down in green pastures and rest beside still waters. When the blind find themselves led by ways that they knew not. And the thirsty stumble upon unsuspected streams in the desert of life. When eyes which looked afraid upon the hosts of destruction round about are open to see the skies filled with the horses and chariots of God. When the warrior's heart is steeled against fear for the terror by night and for the arrow that flieth by day. When the pilgrim receives the grace of courage to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When the prodigal son comes home. When one stoops down to bear the burden of another or takes to parching lips a cup of cool water in Christ's name. These are sacred occasions, hands breadths of our life process which illuminate the vast landscape of life, its hills and valleys, its tragedies and triumphs, its depths and its mysteries. Sometimes they suffuse one's whole life with a warm and radiant glow. Sometimes they furnish a perspective of interpretation which enables us to encompass our whole life within a framework of meaning. With a sure instinct for the center of its life, the Christian church in its best hours has concentrated much of its interest upon a hand's breadth of God's encounter with the world. Not upon all times, but upon that fullness of time when God sent forth his Son into the world. We do not, of course, say that Jesus Christ contained all of God, for God was still in the whole universe in a plenitude of presence and power during the lifetime, earthly lifetime of his Son. We do not say that God ensmalled himself to the proportions of a human figure. Perhaps here was but a hand's breadth of the divine life. If so, how that hand's breadth shines with meaning. For God elected to speak his decisive word to mankind here, to show his face in a human face here, to fly his colors here, to expose the hidden mystery of his inner life in luminous meaning here, to establish a firm beachhead on the shores of our humanity here, here, within this hand's breadth of a single life. God involved himself with our human condition from the inside, set his own steps on the pathway of our mortal pilgrimage, looked into the depths of our pain through human eyes, bore our burdens on shoulders of flesh and bone, thought through the instrumentality of a human mind, helped with a human hand, loved with a human heart. Not all of God was here, but in this hand's breadth of the divine life, the living God was authentically and powerfully present. Not all of human life and experience was here either, just a hand's breadth of it. In fact, a hand's breadth that shines alone. For once in the sad history of our race, a human being was fully responsive to the divine will and tasted with profound involvement the burden and the glory of our life. Alone, he walked out beyond the advice and solicitude of friends, beyond the warm supports of familiar life, beyond all the counsels of prudence, beyond the promise of his native genius, beyond the glittering prospects of a brilliant worldly success, beyond all precedent in the annals of brave and heroic men, beyond all earthly vindication of his life, and beyond all earthly help out where decent people were gone, where only the criminals and outcasts of society remained. Out to Golgotha with a cross to be impaled upon it and to die. Because this hand's breadth of human life shines alone, it illuminates the vast ranges of our human existence. Jesus Christ, says Richard Niebuhr, is not only the Jew who suffered for the sins of Jews and so for our own sins, he is also the member of the Roman world community through whom the Roman past is made our own. The history of empire through which his life and death must be understood is the history of our empire. Beyond all that, he is the man through whom the whole of human history becomes our history. Now there is nothing that is alien to us. All the struggles, searchings after light, all the wanderings of all peoples, all the sins of men in all places become parts of our past through him. Through Christ, we become immigrants into the empire of God, which extends all over the world, and learn to remember the history of that empire that is the history of men in all times and places as our history. Here is but a hand's breadth of our human life, but in the light of this hand's breadth, our whole human existence shines with an eternal meaning. Let us sing hymn number 124.